Good morning, Next Level Church family. I'm excited to once again have the opportunity to stand in front of you and dig into God's Word together. As I try to do every time I'm given this opportunity, I want to thank Pastor Clay for his trust and his faith in me in allowing me this opportunity to get in front of you and share. Now, today, we're going to continue in, and we're actually going to wrap up this series we've been in entitled Unordinary. We spent the last 6 weeks looking at and studying various concepts that make up the Christian life. And what we've come to know about these concepts is that, frankly, they're unordinary. To the world, if we're really living this Christianity thing out, we look strange. Another way we said this is to talk about the upside-down kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, many things are backward or upside down from the way that the world does them. Now, this is a good time to mention that if you're not a Christian, we are so glad that you're hanging out with us and checking this church thing out. We want this community to be a safe place for you to explore and ask questions. That said, if any of you have missed any parts of this series, it's always available online, and I would encourage you to go back and catch up on those whenever you've got a chance. In the meantime, I'm going to give you just a little bit of recap of some of the things that we've been talking about. We have said in this series that less is more. In the kingdom of God, it's not about how much stuff that you can collect and compile. The kingdom of God is also others first. It's not about me. It's not about all the stuff that I can gain and what I can accomplish. In the kingdom of God, the humble are honored and elevated. It is the proud who are brought low. In this kingdom, generosity flows. Greed is not rewarded. And last week, when Joseph was with us, we learned that trying harder is never the key. Trusting is. Now, to start this week's discussion, I want to paint a picture for you. So I'm going to ask you to think back with me, if you will, all the way back to elementary school. It's 1:30 in the afternoon, and it's time for recess. Today at recess, a game of dodgeball is going to happen. In order to play, we're going to need to divide up into teams, right? Well, you know what that means. Johnny and Billy are going to be the captains because they're the most athletic, and clearly they can't be on the same team together. So Johnny and Billy step out from the group, and the selections begin. Now, as you listen to that scenario and begin to place yourself within it, one of a few different reactions probably begins to come up inside you. First off, maybe you are Johnny or Billy in the story. Maybe you always were the team captain. You hear this and begin to swell with pride as you think back to the glory days of pegging the weaker kids mercilessly while barely breaking a sweat. Maybe you were always one of the first few selections. Not the captain, but you got picked soon. So again, doesn't sound so bad. But some of us, many of us, I suspect, know what it's like to be towards the bottom of the order. Maybe you were good at some things, but certain activities, like dodgeball, you sank to the bottom. That's not a good feeling at all. In fact, maybe you know what it's like to not be picked at all. Maybe there's an odd number, and you know what it's like to be the odd one out. I certainly know what that's like. I was a clumsy, tall, awkward kid. Now I'm a clumsy, tall, awkward adult. But in elementary school, I was tall and clumsy, and it didn't help my chances in these sorts of situations. Let's play it forward a bit. Maybe you know what it's like to get to high school and really want to get in with a certain clique or a certain club or a group, and it didn't work out. Maybe you tried really hard, even working in the off season, to make a school sports team, and you got left off. Moving along in life, maybe you didn't get into the college that you wanted, or you got into the college with the program you wanted, you didn't get into, or maybe you finished second place for the job you really desired. I've got a good story about that one from 2013 in my own journey, if you ever want to hear about it. All of these situations get at a feeling I want us to hone in on, because in one way or another, we've all felt it. That feeling is being left out. It's rejection, and we've all been there. I bet that we've also been on the other side of it too, if we're honest. We've left others out. We have rejected people. And here's what I know. Nobody likes to be left out, period. But the harsh reality of this world is that it's going to happen, and probably multiple times throughout our lives. As we wrap up this series today on the upside down kingdom of God, here's the principle that we're diving into. in the kingdom of God, everyone is loved. No one is left out. What this means is there simply are no outcasts. Nobody gets left out. Nobody is not picked. Everyone is invited to be a part of this kingdom. Everyone. Now, when you hear that, you probably have two thoughts that come to mind. The first one is, that's awesome. If nobody gets left out, that means I don't get left out. I can be in. That's pretty cool. But that thought's probably followed fairly quickly by this thought. Wow, if nobody gets left out, that means they get in too. How does that work? These are both natural responses, and I have thoughts on both of them, but for now, I just want us to acknowledge that they're there. Before we get too far down that path, let's have a look at what God has to say about this. Today, we're going to look at a passage from John chapter 15. John, the guy who wrote this book, was Jesus' closest friend on the planet, and he records this eyewitness account of Jesus' teaching. Now, we're going to read verses 9 through 17, but I want to set them up for you just a little. Many of us are at least somewhat familiar with what Jesus says in the first 8 verses of this chapter. This is where Jesus is talking about the concept of the vine and the branches. He tells us that he's the vine and we are the branches. If we remain, or another way to say it is abide or stay connected to him, we will bear much fruit. But if we're not connected to him, we're basically useless and discarded. In that text, Jesus really encourages us to stay connected to the Father, stay in relationship with him. He teaches us that to be fruitful or to be productive requires that we stay connected to God, that we abide in him, that we remain in him. Now, when we read that, we may be left with a question. What does fruitfulness actually look like? What does it look like to be productive in this kingdom? Jesus answers that in our passage today. Let's see if we can find it. Starting in verse 9, he says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. There's that word again, remain. There's something I want you to see in that word. In last week's message, Joseph talked about trust versus trying. Notice that remain sounds a lot more like trusting than it does trying, and I don't think that's a coincidence. Jesus continues in verse 10. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now here, Jesus makes a connection. You see it? He makes a connection between remaining and obedience. What he's saying is this: if we are remaining, there will be evidence. Something will happen as a result of our remaining. That result is obedience. Now, make sure you get that order right. We don't obey so that we can remain. So many of us have viewed God that way at some point or another. If I can just do enough, if I can be good enough, if I can stop sinning, if I can break the addiction, if I can break the cycle, then I can be a part of the kingdom. Then I can be in. No, it's not the way it works. Jesus says, remain in my love. First you remain, not romaine, that's a lettuce. Then you obey. Let's keep going. In verse 11, he says this, I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Doesn't that sound great? Jesus says, hey, I'm telling you this because this is how you get that thing you're chasing. You want joy? You want satisfaction? You want fulfillment? It's right here. Remain. Then he says in verse 12, this is my commandment. Okay, here it is. It's coming. He mentioned obedience, right? So if I remain in his love, the outcome of remaining is obedience. We've said that. Okay, Jesus, what exactly is it that I am obeying? He continues, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. There it is. That's the command. Love each other. And not just any love, the same way I have loved you, he says. And even though he hadn't done it yet, he foreshadows what is soon coming when he gives them the ultimate example of love. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Wow. And lest we begin to get sassy and start thinking, well, I can love my friends. At least I don't have to love that guy or that girl. Jesus continues, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me." And listen to this. "You didn't choose me. I chose you." What we see here in those words is that this friendship Jesus had with the disciples, and ultimately the friendship available to us, isn't based on the disciples, and it's not based on us either. It's based on who Jesus is. And while, to be clear, Jesus is talking to his disciples in particular in this moment, we have plenty of evidence elsewhere in Scripture to know that this is true of us as well. It is God's love and grace and mercy that allows him to make relationship available to us. We simply abide and remain in it. In other words, nobody gets left out. He continues, "I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other." This is an interesting point at the end here. We see this verse that can so easily be taken out of context, "so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." But remember, this is based on us being aligned with God, remaining in him, and being obedient to his command to love each other. If we are in that space, then we'll be asking for things aligned with the will of the Father, and he is happy to oblige requests made in that sort of fashion. Then he finished with that simple command again, love each other. No qualifiers, no boundaries, no unlesses, love each other. Now, with that in mind, let's revisit those thoughts from earlier. If you remember correctly, I said there are two thoughts that usually kind of rush into our heads when we hear that no one is outside the reach of God's love. In light of what we just read, let's reconsider those thoughts. The first one was this: wow, if nobody is left out, then hey, that means I'm not left out. You are absolutely right about that. No matter how many times you've been on the outside looking in this world, you are never left out of God's love. Nothing you have done or that has been done to you or that you ever will do can ever disqualify you. If I can just be real with you for a minute, this has always been the hardest part for me. When I look at my past and the things that I used to be, I can be really hard on myself. Quite frankly, I can begin to not like who I was or who I am. Before long, I can begin believing that I'm not worthy of the love that is freely offered to me. If you identify with that, let me try to help. When I begin to feel that way, here's what I've learned. I have to get my eyes off of myself. This love isn't about me. We said that earlier. It's not about what I've done, good or bad. It's about the giver of that love, and it's about his perfect character. So practically speaking, what helps me is to focus on how I can help someone else. How can I serve someone else who is in need, someone else who is struggling? When I get my eyes off myself and onto someone else, particularly loving someone else, I start to feel a whole lot better. The other thought that we mentioned was this one. If nobody is left out, then that means even they are allowed in. The reality is, there will always be people who we think are simply too far gone for the love of God. Evil is real. All you have to do to know that is turn on the news. We live in a crazy time right now. Here's what I want you to do, though. Instead of focusing on how bad someone is, flip that around and allow yourself the opportunity to marvel at how good God is that he can love someone so far gone. One day, if your faith is in Christ, you'll stand in heaven. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I got some theories, but you know, that's what they are. They're theories. I'm certainly curious. I do believe, though, that there'll be some surprises, and I'm convinced of at least one of those. I believe all of us will be surprised by who's there. We're going to see somebody and be like, whoa, they made it? We'll also probably be surprised by who's not, but again, that surprise should drive us to a place of awe and love for the one whose love is big enough for everybody. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, you probably have some idea of where I'm going. It all comes back to that command from Jesus. Love each other. It's simple. And remember, the ability to do that comes from our abiding and remaining in God's love for us, from being connected to the Father as the branch is connected to the vine. Out of our abiding comes becomes obedience in the form of loving each other. When we do this, nobody gets left out. So do you see that? God's plan for actualizing his amazing love that reaches out to everybody and doesn't leave anybody out is you and it's me. He gets to the everybody through you and me. To be clear, that means the people who wear masks and the people who don't. The people who lean right, the people who lean left, the people in the middle, the confused and the unengaged and uninterested. It means the black and the white and the Latino and the Asian and every single race and ethnicity on the planet. Nobody is left out. Now imagine with me what this church and this community could look like if we embrace this kingdom principle fully. Now hear me, I think we're already pretty good at this, but we can always grow. Our church has got a lot of people on all sorts of different sides of issues, and the enemy would love to see that divide us. We can't let that happen. There is room for everybody. In this unordinary kingdom, nobody gets left out. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much that your love is big enough for everybody. That God, though we experience rejection, though we experience getting left out in this world, God, you've got room for us all. Lord, I pray that we would feel that today. I pray that as we get ready to start our week and we go about life in this crazy upside down world right now, that we would remember that we are loved by you, that we are included and welcomed into the kingdom by you, that we are welcomed into relationship with you, and that God, our sense of that love and our feeling of that love would motivate us to obedience, that it would push us to then love the people around us, that we would be those who open the doors wide and say, there is room for you in God's love. Do that in us, Father, we ask in your name, amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today and giving us the opportunity to speak into your lives. Before you head out, here are a couple of reminders for you. If you'd like to help keep our church strong, you can always do that by heading over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choosing one of the options there. Every dollar you give makes sure that our church stays strong through this crisis and is prepared, and is prepared more than ever to continue our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Also, I want to remind you that if you want to discuss today's message, just head on over to facebook.com/nextlevelclt/live. And there also should be a link dropped by one of our moderators in the comments of this feed. And we can chat live there and ask questions and have some conversation. Now, by way of benediction, I want to read this very familiar verse to you with a little bit of a different emphasis. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Let's bring that about by loving the whoever's in our lives this week. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you back next week. I love you. Later.